It's great to be here with you. It's good to have all these smiling faces. I can see some of them. Some of them got their smiles covered up, but I know you're smiling underneath that mask. And again, I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us this morning online by our live streaming. We appreciate you being with us, and I hope that this time of us worshiping together will glorify God and will be a blessing to every one of us. Amen. We began a couple of weeks ago looking at this topic, He is coming back. And remember, we started this actually leading up to the Christmas holiday, where we were looking at the first coming of Christ, where everybody's all anticipating Christmas and the birth of Jesus and so forth. And this is the follow-up to that study that we were doing, looking at all of the prophecies that have to do, we find in the New Testament, that have to do with Jesus returning to this earth, and what's going to happen, and so forth and so on. So He is coming back. These things, I have to turn this on in order to get it to work. These all have to do with what are referred to as end time prophecies, all right? And what we're looking at in these are, first of all, what are some of the promises that await us when these things, these prophecies are fulfilled? What do we have to look forward to? Secondly, there are the signs. What are the signs that these prophecies give to us that tell us, you know, these things are happening? And could this be the time? Not that we can pick out the time. We're going to talk about that more in just a few minutes. But there are certainly signs there that God has given to us in these prophecies that point to the return of Christ. And then there is the anticipation. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Him to come back. Right now, I'm anticipating. I wish He would come back today. And I'm anticipating His return anytime. And we need to have that kind of anticipation. You see? The prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ tell us two primary things. First of all, what is that coming going to look like? When He actually comes back, what's that going to look like? Okay? And then secondly, what's going to happen when He comes back? Okay? So that those are the things that we are primarily looking at in this study. We began in this part by looking at three questions that the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 concerning these events, okay? Those three questions came after Jesus pointed out to the disciples that as they were there in the temple area, that there would be no stone left on another, okay? Referring to the second, to the destruction of Jerusalem that has already occurred in A.D. 70, okay? Here are their questions. When will this happen, okay? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, right? So we're still in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to finish up Matthew 24 and go into Matthew 25 this morning as we finish this part of our study, all right? So lesson three is, I've just entitled it, Who Knows? Okay? Who knows? This is an adventure into the unknown. Okay? You ever been on one of those? You don't know what's going to happen. Where is this going to take us? You know, what are the events that are going to unfold? And all of those kinds of things. This past holiday, actually, New Year's holiday, we got to spend some time with our grandchildren, and we did something kind of different this year with them that had to do with their Christmas. We didn't buy them a bunch of Christmas presents. What we did was we had adventures with each of them, okay? And so my son and my daughter and their families, they wrapped up in some packages cards that had some details of the different events, and each day they got to open a new package to find out what the adventure was going to be. So it really was into the unknown. They didn't know what we were going to be doing and what was going to happen until that particular day, and we told them about that event. So we have things like that happen where we're venturing into the unknown, and that's what it, where, the way that it is when it comes to when the Lord is going to come back again. You've heard this statement before, haven't you? Okay? That is on a need-to-know basis, right? And what's the second part of that? And you don't need to know. Okay? Whatever the discussion is, that's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. When we were in Florida with the church down there, they had the special forces for the Air Force at the base there. And we had a lot of members of our congregation that were part of the special forces. And there were times when I'd be talking to them, trying to get to know them, and I'd say, so what do you do in the Air Force? And they seemed to have the same reply, all of them. They would say, well, I could tell you that, but then I'd have to kill you. Okay? And I say, well, then by all means, don't tell me, okay? I don't want to know that bad. But we understand that there's a lot of things in life that's going on that we don't need to know. Okay? And perhaps there are some things that it's better that we don't know. All right? And I think that when it comes to the second coming of Christ, I think it fits into that category. All right? The information about that is on a need-to-know basis. And we don't need to know when he's coming back. Because I think if we did, that would kind of mess us up in our being prepared. I think a lot of us would tend to wait until the last minute like we do on so many other things. You say, oh, I got plenty of time. You say, and what God wants us to do is just the opposite of that. He wants us to always be ready. And we'll talk about that more. But this is on a need-to-know basis. And look what the Bible says about this. The text that Holloway read for us as we began this morning. There's only one being that knows when that's going to happen, okay? Jesus says this. No one knows about that day or the hour, okay? No one knows. Not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, okay? So as much as the angels in heaven, as much knowledge as they have of what's going on in the world, they don't know that. And the Son, if I understand what Jesus is saying there correctly, at least while he was here, and perhaps even now, okay, doesn't know when that time is going to be. The only one who does is the Father. Okay? It is on a need-to-know basis. And as I said a moment ago, we do not need to know when he's coming. What is it that we need to know? That he is coming. That's the only thing that really matters about this. Not when he's coming, but the fact that he is. And if we know that and we're convinced of it, then we will be ready when he comes. And it won't matter when that occurs. Okay? He goes on to say, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So here's that event that he's been talking about this whole time, all right? The coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What is he really saying here? Well, in Noah's day, that's how it was. And it will be the same way when the Lord comes back again. People will be as unprepared and surprised when the Lord comes back again as they were in Noah's day when the flood came. Even though they've been warned. Okay? People have been warned that the Lord is coming back again. That is not a secret, by the way, in the world, okay? People have been warned. But people are going on with life as usual, just like they did in the days of Noah. And when he comes back again, they'll be just as unpleasantly surprised, those who are unprepared. So Jesus is giving a warning here. Don't let that happen to you. All right? Now, let's talk about this rapture thing. I told you last week in the lesson, we're going to talk about that and try to get that, you know, figured out here. Because you hear a lot of talk today about the rapture. Okay? Anybody not heard of the rapture? Okay? Yeah, everybody here has heard of it. But what is it referring to? What is that really all about? Well, it comes primarily from two passages. This one that where Jesus continues on in verse 40 and 41. He says, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Now, let me ask you this question. You look at that passage and what it actually says, all right? Does it sound like to you that this is going to be a secret thing taking place? That there'll be two men in the field and one will be taken away and the other one won't even notice it? Or two women will be grinding at a wheel and one will be taken and the other one won't even recognize or notice that they're gone? I don't know about you, but if I'm out working the field and I got somebody with me and all of a sudden they're gone, I'm going to go, well, what do I want to do? Do you go off, take a break and leave me out here to do the work? Isn't that how most of us would react? You know, we're doing work and all of a sudden somebody's gone. We're looking around and saying, what happened to them? All right? But there's nothing in this passage that indicates that the other person that is left won't recognize that the other person has gone. Is there? Do you see anything in there like that? I don't. I just see that he says one's going to be taken and the other one's going to be left. Okay? The word rapture is not a biblical word. All right? It's not found in the Bible. But the teaching concerning the rapture, or at least that general principle, is certainly taught in the scriptures. But here's the problem. There's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and just plain false teaching about that event. Okay, so again, Matthew chapter 24, 40 and 41 gives us this indication. Two people are there, one's going to be taken, the other one's left. Okay, that's kind of what the rapture is about, okay? Well, let's look at another passage. The second passage that indicates that, yes, biblically, the concept, the basic concept of the rapture is correct. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. We're going to be caught up together with the dead who have already risen, okay? And we're going to join the Lord in the air, and there we'll be with him forever. That's basically what the rapture is about. Okay, so that basic concept of this, you know, some will be taken and some will be left is certainly a biblical concept. All right? Earlier in our study, we looked at what Jesus had to say about false prophets. Okay? At that time, he's referring to the same time period here. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. Why? For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you ahead of time. So he's warned us that there are going to be people that are going to come along and say false things about the end times. And this is certainly one of them, okay? So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. We talked about this passage last week, we recall. And that Jesus is telling us, be ready, and when these events happen, You're going to know about it. You will be able to see it happening just like you see the lightning. Remember us talking about this last week? You see the lightning off in the east and you're in the west. You can see it from a far distance. Okay? Now, here are some things that those who teach false things about the raptures, here's some of the things that they teach. There are many Christians who believe that the second coming of Christ will be in two phases. First, he will come for believers, both the living and the dead, okay? In the rapture. And then they give several passages, one of which we just read, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-17. In this view, the rapture, which is the transformation and catching up of all Christians, dead or alive, that's 1 Thessalonians, right? What we just read, so that part's right. He says, to meet Christ in the air. And then look at what they say. That will be secret. Okay? For it will be unknown to the world of unbelievers at the time of its happening. Okay? It's going to be unknown. It's going to be a secret event. Unknown to the unbelievers. So that gives this, that whole idea, and that's why I was talking about it a moment ago, when Jesus says two men will be in a field and one will be taken, the other one left, is like, where'd he go? He didn't know it. It was a secret thing. You say, two women grinding out a meal, and one's taking a meal, and one's taken, the other one left, and the other one's going, well, guess they just went to take a break. They're not going to know what really happened. Do these events, as Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians, and we'll see here in a moment, some we already read, what Jesus says, does it sound like it's secret? Doesn't sound like that to me. Okay? Again, let's go back and look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay? The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. I don't know about you, but I kind of think that when there's a loud command, we're going to be able to hear that. Okay? And when the trumpet call of God goes out and the cry of the archangel, I think everybody's going to be able to hear that. I don't think there's going to be anything secret about those things happening. Okay? So it's not going to be a secret event where people will be kind of wondering, well, I was with Joe in the field today and then he just disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. But that's what some people want us to believe about this rapture thing. Because it's going to be a secret event. No, it won't. No, it won't. There's nothing secret going to be about it at all. You say. Jesus, in the text we saw earlier in our study, Matthew chapter 24, his own words that he describes what's going to take place. He says the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. That'll be a secret event, right? No, it won't. He says, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Well, what are they mourning for if they don't even know what's going on? If it's a secret event, why would all the tribes of the earth be mourning? Okay? He says, they, that is all the tribes of the earth, will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. It's going to be a very visible event. It's not going to be secret at all. Well, let's go on and see what else they have to say. They continue the same thing. The effect of this removal, that is, this secret removal of one person, another person be left, in the absence of multitudes of people, will of course be evident on earth. Then, second, after a period of 7 years of tribulation, Christ will return to the earth with his church, the saints, who were raptured. Did you get that? Okay? So not only is he coming back, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then those who are left alive, those in Christ, will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. But according to this teaching, after 7 years of tribulation here on earth, he's going to come back again. And he's going to bring the church with him. And look at it now, okay? He will be victorious over his enemies and will reign on the earth for 1,000 years with his saints, the church. Okay? Now, when I went to school, and I know there's a lot of things that are changing these days, okay? And I'm not sure what is still politically correct when it comes to counting, but when I was in school, when you counted one time he came, which we already talked about in the Lord coming, the Messiah, and Christmas, and all that stuff, and now this second coming is what we're talking about now, and here they're saying after that occurs, he's going to come back again. Isn't that three times? Am I counting wrong here? If he's going to come back and take those who are dead in Christ with him and those who are alive with him, and then after 7 years, he's going to come back again, that's three times. That's like a second coming of Jesus. And I don't know anywhere in the Scriptures where it teaches that he's coming back a third time or a second time. You say? Again, go back to 1 Thessalonians. All right, what does he say? We're going to be caught up in the clouds with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and what? So we will be with the Lord for how long? Forever. It doesn't say anything about him coming back and bringing the church with him and setting up a kingdom and reigning for 1,000 years here on earth. By the way, that's supposed to be on David's throne. Those are all misapplications and misunderstandings of these prophecies. But yet people are teaching this stuff like it's true. And it's not. You see? He's not coming back three times. He's only coming back once. You see? He's not coming back twice. He's only coming back once. And when he does come back, everybody is going to know about it. It will not be a secret event. You see? It's going to be one in which all the nations, as Jesus himself said, will know. And they will see. So when you hear people talking about those kinds of things with the rapture and this secrecy and the Lord's coming back and then he's going to come back again, he's going to set up his kingdom, don't listen to it because it is false teaching. Whether it is intentional or whether it's just simply misunderstanding what the Bible prophesies concerning the second coming, it's wrong. So don't listen to it. All right? Don't listen to it. Jesus then goes on in the last part of chapter 24 to make two comparisons for us. All right? And again, this has to do with the part about us not knowing the day or the hour. All right? Look at what he says here. First of all, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So I think Jesus there is at least implying what I was saying before. If we knew, then we'd wait till the last minute and get ready. You see? And he's saying, you need to be ready all the time. This is not a last minute thing. This is not something that we want to wait until the last minute to get prepared for. And he's emphasizing the fact that we don't know when it's going to be, so we need to be ready all the time. Okay? Second thing he talks about is the slave or the servant and the master. The master who goes away and leaves his servant in charge of his house. Okay? And he compares, he says, first of all, if the servant is a good servant, he's a faithful servant, he's going to take care of things responsibly. He's going to do what he's supposed to do. He's going to look after his fellow servants in a proper way. And he will be rewarded when his master returns. He goes on to say, though, but if that servant decides, my master is a long time in coming back, and he begins to abuse his fellow servants and take advantage of the situation, in other words, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, that servant will be punished, you say. So there is a certain element here involved in this. Not only do we not know, and so we need to be ready, but being ready, I think more than anything, refers to making sure we are doing what God has called upon us to do. All right? Jesus, of course, is the master who goes away. All right? He's away right now. And you and I are his servants or the slaves. We can be faithful while he's away, or we can be self-serving. Whichever way we choose, we will get what we deserve. Okay? And then finally, we go into Matthew chapter 25. And here, Jesus talks about, and he gives this parable of the 10 virgins, all right? He says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, all right? At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming, come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. You see, this has to do with, in the beginning of the parable, he says there are five foolish ones who didn't bring any extra oil. There are five wise who did bring extra oil for their lamps. Well, when the time came, the five foolish ones, what do they want to do? They're wanting the others to make up for their failure. You see? And the reality is, we cannot rely on other people to do what we're supposed to do ourselves. You see? And especially at the last minute, okay? They were irresponsible, and now they're caught, you know, the time is here, and now they want somebody else to fix it for them. It's not going to work that way. Okay? When the Lord comes back again, as we've seen already, it's going to be an instantaneous, it's going to be a well-known event, and there will be people that will be going, well, wait a minute, you're a Christian, help me out here. Say a good word for me. Take me with you as you're going up and they're left behind, and it's like, sorry, there's nothing I can do. Because that's something you were supposed to do. You see? Now, before we go too far on that, let's make sure we understand, remind us what we've been talking about in our Bible study time. It is our responsibility to be telling people beforehand, right? Right? Everybody's head should be going like this, right? Because that's our responsibility, is to warn people, to tell them, so that they will get ready. But if they don't, if they're that foolish that they don't get enough oil to last, they're going to be lost, and it will be their fault, not ours. You see? Because here's what happened. While they were away, that is, the five foolish ones out going to buy some oil, the bridegroom came, and the five wise virgins were allowed in, and the door was shut. And then the five foolish came back with their oil, and they pounded on the door, he says, and they said, let us in. The bridegroom answered, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. I don't know you. Does that sound familiar? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us a warning of those who will say, I'm doing all these great things. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works? And then I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. So the importance there, it's the same thing. I don't know you. God will deny a relationship with us because we did not do what he told us to do. We did not prepare. We were not ready. And we did not do the things that he told us to do. He will say, I don't know you. See? So we need to make sure that we are ready. And that's why at the end of this passage, he says this, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. And that's why the information about the second coming in terms of when it's going to be, and we've seen, you know, over the last several years, we've seen different prophets come along and tell us, oh, this particular date, the Lord's coming back again. The end of the world is here. And they've given us dates and times, and those dates and times have come and gone, and we're still here. Why? Because that information, as far as the date and time, is on a need-to-know basis, and you and I do not need to know. We simply need to be ready at all times. And then we don't have anything to worry about. You say, nothing to worry about. Okay? Not a thing to worry about. He is coming back, and he could come back today. All right? He could come back today. I'm not saying that he is, but the realization is he could. It could be today. See? Could be next week. Could be a year from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now. I don't know. But two things I do know. One is he is coming back. Okay? And two is, if we're not ready when he does come, we will be lost. So be ready. Whenever that is, be ready. All right? Chuck has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we use this opportunity for anyone to share with us any need that you have, any prayer requests, something that you would like for us to address and lift up before God for you. And also, if there's anyone who is not yet a Christian that desires to become one, you can do that right now. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, the same thing is true of you. If you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, if you have a need that you would like us to take care of, you can text Dale. Wesley is not with us this morning, so you can... Wesley. Okay, Wesley is back there. Okay. Wesley or Dale. I'm sorry, I didn't see you back there, Wes. So you can text either Wesley or Dale while we're doing our invitation song and let them know what your prayer request is. And they will address that. If there's someone out there in our worshiping with us online that is not yet a Christian and you would like to become a Christian, then you can do that right now today, as soon as is possible for you to get with us. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we got water ready right here behind me. It's warm and it's ready to go. All you got to do is contact us and let us know that's your desire, and we will take care of it as soon as is possible with you. The opportunity is afforded to everyone. Dale and Wesley will be in the back if anybody would like to go and have a private prayer conversation with either of them. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.